Welcome to Fearless Dentistry, the podcast where we dive deep into the world of dentistry with your fearless host, Dr. John Gordon. Dr. Gordon will fearlessly guide you through the evolving landscape of dentistry. Get ready to embrace the fearless mindset and revolutionize your dentistry practice. This is Fearless Dentistry with Dr. John Gordon.
Welcome to this episode of Fearless Dentistry Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. John Gordon. And I want to thank you for joining me. Today is going to be the third and the final episode of I Am Not Closing Enough Large Cases. Why and what can I do about it? I hope you've enjoyed the prior two episodes. We've kind of laid some foundation and some groundwork there. And today we're going to pull it all together so that once you listen to this episode and the other two, you can sit back and give a little reflection. And then when you are ready to proceed and start winning at selling large cases, you have yourself, your quiver is full of arrows that will make the difference in helping you close more cases. The process is not really that difficult. We try to make things difficult. We try to, at times, present information to people that makes it seem like it's a multiple step and we have to overcome so many obstacles to win at, but you really don't have to with this. And I'm going to share with you the two main key factors that when I started understanding myself more in relation to these two factors, and I started incorporating them into my case presentation or my initial new guest, new patient conversation, my large case acceptance skyrocketed. There was absolutely no doubt as to what was the cause of the success of us selling and closing more large cases. The key to closing the large cases is trust and presence. I will take trust and presence over any other factors, and I will close more cases by embracing those two concepts than pulling out the articulators and all of the data to try to convince the patient to accept a treatment plan and treatment presentation. So I wanted to also have you incorporate and embrace imagination with me today with this. And think in terms of imagination as a very powerful force that actually manifests reality. Imagination allows us to sense and live in a space of freedom and hope. Imagination takes away all of the obstacles. It takes away all of the bounds of history and tradition that we have built around ourselves to protect ourselves and insulate ourselves, but also those boundaries prohibit and inhibit us from growing. And so when we incorporate imagination into the process, it takes away all of those suffocating, debilitating, humiliating boundaries that keep us down and keep us oppressed. Also, by allowing the imagination to enter into the room and into the conversation per se with our new guests and our new patients, it does the exact same thing for them. The reason I know this and I'm 100% sure of this is because I witnessed it time and time again with my new guests when I incorporated imagination into the conversation. Also, I want you to remember a quote by Zig Ziglar. When you give people enough of what they want, they will give you what you want. So remember that. When you give your patients trust and your presence, they will give you what you want, and that is the opportunity to do their case for them and with them. When I learned to create trust by being present and listening, my cases, I was able to start closing them. It's a direct proportionate relationship is what I experienced. The higher degree of presence that I had and the higher degree of trust that I exhibited with the patient always led to a higher percentage of closing cases. We talked earlier in this series about presence. and presence being a greater catalyst for change versus analysis. Presence is a greater catalyst for change versus analysis. And earlier in my career, you know, as I mentioned, I went to the L.D. Pahnke Institute, and I was a Pahnke guy. I believe in the Pahnke Institute. I believe in the philosophy. When I went there, L.D. Pahnke was still alive, and so I had the opportunity of over 5 weeks, over about 5 years, to experience and be in the presence of L.D. Pahnke. And again, that's one of those things that as I was sitting in the chairs, listening to him lecture to us and then interact with him in the intermissions and at lunches and whatever, you sensed the power of the gentleman when he was beside you. Again, not realizing and understanding what presence was at that point, because it just wasn't a big part of my life and it wasn't something that I deemed necessary, but I understood something powerful was happening between myself and him. And the majority of that power was coming from him. It's the way that he looked at you. It's the way he spoke with you. Here I was, little Johnny Gordon from the Midwest, from Dodge City, Kansas, went to Kansas State University and then dental school in Kansas City. And here I was standing in the midst of who I felt was like God of dentistry. And he had the time and he gave me his time. He gave me his presence. He gave me his attention. And he made me feel very, very important just by the way he was looking at me. And so presence is a greater catalyst for change versus analysis. This is where the Institute, in its time, we used analysis more than we did our presence. So I had to look and I had to work through blending. Once I started realizing that there was more selling cases than analysis, I went through the Dawson Institute, kind of the same thing there. Peter Dawson and LD were very close friends, so the philosophy and the approach to case presentations were pretty close to the same. Then I went through two consulting companies afterwards at some point, and both of those consulting companies did not talk about trust and presence. We talked more about the analytical data and kind of fear presentation, present the information to them and present it in a way that if they don't do this treatment, therefore their mouth will continue to deteriorate and have all kinds of issues and problems and they'll start losing their teeth, yada, yada, yada. Again, that approach didn't feel right because I wasn't getting results. And I saw the evidence of it in people's faces when I was watching them as I was speaking. I was not getting anywhere. There was this look of confusion, almost frustration. And then I saw a lot of times the rigidity in their body language, resisting and saying to themselves, we're adversaries now, not advocates, which we should be. And so presence and trust creates the element of advocacy, and they know that you are on their side. So presence and trust, in my opinion, and in my personal experience, will win every time. So part of the question is, are you a person of presence? And if you think so, how do you know? Are you a person that can be trusted? If you think so, how do you know? Well, probably the best way for you to know and learn the degree of whether you think you are present with people or not is to ask people that are important in your lives that will give you honest feedback and ask them, please help me grow. Please help me get better. Help coach me up. Tell me, how am I as far as being present with people? How do you see and observe me in the office? How do you see me and observe me with our friends and when I'm out and about? Listen to what they have to say. Make note. The other thing is, evaluate yourself very honestly. Go to the mirror. That's another one of these person in the mirror moments. Go to the mirror, look yourself straight in the eyes in the mirror, and ask yourself, am I a person of presence? And the way that you answer that question is you ask yourself, what does presence mean to me? And how do I know when someone is present with me, when I'm in their midst? How do I sense? What do I feel? What do I pick up on? What do I see in them? When they're not saying a word, what are they saying to me, even though they're not speaking? You are drawing and configuring your avatar of presence for yourself. Once you know that, start being it. Same thing with trust. Ask people, help me grow, coach me up. Do you sense that I am a person that you can trust? And if so, to what degree? On a scale of 1 to 10, have them scale it. And then figure out and ask yourself, okay, am I a person that I think my friends, family, staff, patients can trust? And answering that honestly, it gives you a scale as to where you think you need to set your new standard, which on a scale of 1 to 10, I think it needs to be 15. If, look at the gap, what do you need to do to fill that gap? And again, go to the mirror and ask yourself that question. And then ask, what do I look for in people that tells me I can trust them? Again, you're building your trust avatar. And then you know what your new standard is, and you start becoming it. You know, the saying, and I know probably 100% of you can finish this saying, is fake it until you, go ahead and say it, make it. Fake it till you make it. No, that's not what we're going with this. We're going to say fake it until you become it. Now, I'm not saying fake it in a dishonest way. I'm saying go in and give it your best shot. Try to be your most present person that you can be at that point in time, knowing it's not going to be perfect, knowing that you're going to grow and get better with practice and experience. The more comfortable you become with your ability to be present, the more that you own your presence, the more your patients, your family, and your friends are going to experience your presence. Same thing with trust. The more that you learn to understand, you understand and learn how to trust yourself, people will learn to trust you more. And I think that is key. One of the big things is the one person that you need to learn to trust the most is yourself. How can we expect people to trust us when we don't trust us? So it's one of those reciprocal laws of nature. The higher that you trust and learn to honor and respect yourself, the greater the trust, honor, and respect will be from the people that we are around. That's it. Trust and presence has to be part of our game. It just has to be. I'm going to talk about storytelling. And again, all these things are going to come together at the end. And we've talked about storytelling in the past when I had Stephanie Paul on board with a podcast probably about a month ago or so. Storytelling is the ultimate tool of persuasion. Brands as well as individuals who tell stories emotionally and they're genuine stories, we connect with our customers, clients, or patients at a deeper and more meaningful level. Stories told remarkably create remarkable impact and results. Now, here's something that's really important. And again, this is another really key point. We connect with other people when we tell great stories. Brain coupling occurs when we tell a story that they relate with, then they tell us a story that we understand and we relate with. A powerful concept occurs called brain coupling. Brain coupling is one of the most powerful elements in creating trust. And brain coupling basically is just when you tell a story, your brain, who's the storyteller, and the brain of the listener sync up. And you know, and if you go back with yourself, you know, some of your personal history here, let's say over the last year, and people tell you a remarkable story, and this can even be strangers. These are people that you're just meeting, and you share a story about yourself, and they share a story about themselves. There's something that occurs, and often it is very magical. Now, when someone is telling you a story, the most important thing you can do, the ultimate form of respect, is to listen to their story with purpose and a degree of passion of trying to understand. Listening to your patient's story plus you telling your story creates brain coupling magic. And this is exactly what I experienced with my patients when I was doing the consultations and when I was having the new guest conversation with them. I would first ask them to tell me their story. Then I would tell them my story. And what is my story? What's your story? What story do you need to tell your patients that will sync with them? Well, part of it is you need to tell a story that invokes the feeling that they can trust you, that they can then, through trusting you, learn to respect you, believe in you, and appreciate the fact that you're going to honor them and respect them through the process and help their imagination, their vision, and their dream become a reality. So by telling your story, you're going to allow their imagination to open up and their imagination be unbound by their history and the tradition that they've been telling themselves through the years to live in the space of freedom and hope and in the belief that you are going to take them to their promised land of their dream and the vision of the new beautiful smile and the new life. So listening to your patient's story, and then you tell your story, the coupling occurs, and then there is magic that happens. So the bottom line to all of this is trust and presence. I never ever brought out an articulator. I never ever brought out x-rays. I did show them digital pictures of their teeth, but the only reason I showed them digital pictures is because they could then see, and together the patient and I could point to the teeth and they could basically, we would co-create their treatment plan. They had ownership of that treatment plan, and by me being present with them and them learning to understand that they could trust me via the story that I told them, we coupled ourselves together and the magic occurred. So bottom line, figure out your degree of trust that you portray. Figure out what your avatar of trust looks like and start working towards that person and fake it until you become it. And we understand what that means. Your presence the same. Figure out where you are at with your presence. And you learn to where you master your own presence and you master your own ability to emit the trust factor. You're going to see your large case closing blast off. There's just no question about it. That's what happened in my practice. So I hope this has been helpful. I'm not going to give you a line item menu way of going through this process. It reminds me of the story in City Slickers where Curly is out on the road and Billy Crystal, they're on the horse and they're talking about the magic of the one thing that creates life and the importance of life. And Billy Crystal asks the question, what is the one thing? Curly told him, there's that one magic thing that will make the difference in your life. And Curly said, that's for you to figure out. And that's what I tell you. This is for you to figure out on your own terms, in your own way, so it is your own authentic answers. And when you do that and you incorporate this, you're going to start doing more large cases than you can imagine. So again, hope it's been good information for you. I challenge you. I want you to work at it, figure it out. And when it's yours, you're going to see your cases explode. This is your host, Dr. John.
Thank you for joining us on Fearless Dentistry with Dr. John Gordon. Stay fearless, keep pushing boundaries, and continue making a lasting impact in dentistry. Subscribe for more fearless conversations. Until next time, keep spreading smiles.